Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Another episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, the podcast about musical theatre by us. Well, it's me, KB, if you haven't already worked that out. And joining me at the table is Super Fetch,
Zane C. Weber,
and
Super Gruel, Melanie Bolivan.
Stop trying to make Fetch happen, KB.
If anyone can make Fetch happen, it's not me. I can't.
It's definitely you, Zane.
I'm not Fetch. I'm not a regular host. I'm a cool host.
Oh.
Yeah,
need any snacks?
It's true. Lucky for us. So if you haven't already, I tried to come up with a comeback, guys, and it just didn't happen. Maybe it will come back to me later. We are obviously talking about a musical that was a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a movie for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
We really like to quote it.
It's true. It is probably one of the most quoted modern movies. I believe it's come up on lists.
Yeah. And like, I mean, if you haven't seen it, you need to pause this now and go watch it and come back to it.
You've had like 15 years.
We need to stop calling it and start referring to its title, Mean Girls.
It's just the greatest movie ever, and now a really rad. I'm going to put rad in there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Many people have requested that we talk about Mean Girls.
I mean, of course.
Several people in the iTunes comments are people on Facebook and on Twitter. So here you go, everyone. We're talking about Mean Girls.
We've done it. And it's going to be great. But before we get into Mean Girls, we should probably get to know Mel.
Me?
Zane.
Call me.
You have to sing it.
To know you.
Wow, I have been blessed.
Yeah, Mel.
Oh, it made my eyes water.
Mine too, Zane.
We're super excited. I'm going to say super a lot today. It's apparently the word of the day.
Super.
Super. Okay, Mel, are you ready?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Which musical character would other people compare you to?
Amelie. I think, from Amelie.
Amelie.
Mm. Now, why do you say that? I don't disagree.
Okay.
I'm just interested in why you think people view that way.
Guys, you can't see Zane's face, but Zane's face says otherwise.
It was not an answer that I was expecting.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I'd love to hear your input on what. But anyway, my response to your question is just like high energy, socially anxious. But like, I just want to be with people, but also I just want to hide from people, you know, like that. Do you get that vibe?
Yeah. I get that. You don't put out the "I want to hide from you" vibe, but you just get
that.
The high energy social vibe.
Okay.
So again, so I think that dichotomy is more internal than external.
Oh, maybe
so
it is.
You
hide
it well.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
What would you have said, Zane?
Yeah. Oh.
Again, like something high energy, like probably Penny from
Hairspray.
From Hairspray.
Wow. Oh, yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah. You know, that kind of really positive, high-energy friend. Yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah. I'll take it. Thank you. Yeah, I'll
You're
be
welcome.
A Penny. I'll be your Penny Zane.
Now that we have compared you to a musical character, what musical character would you like other people to compare you to?
Or this kind of bleeds into another question, but like Amalia, why are they all AM names? I don't know. Amalia from She Loves Me.
Yeah.
Aww, I love her.
Yeah.
I love her.
which one is Amalia in She Loves Me?
The main lady.
So not the one that sings Ice Cream.
Yeah. She sings Ice Cream.
Okay, so I had them switched around. Her name's
Amalia, right?
I think so.
It is. Amalia Balish? Yeah. Balish. Yeah. Yeah.
If it wasn't, it is now.
The one we've changed it. The one played by Laura Benanti.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Who I just also want to be.
Yeah. Like, who doesn't? Nice.
Right? I'm sorry, that's already been cast by Laura Benanti.
Oh, no. Why did anyone tell me? Whoa. No one told me about the casting.
It was just, it's a missed opportunity. Maybe next time.
Next time. Yeah. Next time. In another life, I'll be Laura Benanti.
So what is your dream role other than Laura?
Oh, man. Good phrasing of that question. Captain Beverly Bass, rather, in nice. Come From Away.
Yeah.
Easily. Nice. Easily.
Good one. Nice one.
I'll also take the role of Jen Colella. Just... Jen Colella plays Captain Beverly Bass. Okay. I just want to be her. Okay. Yep.
I think we should tell you now, Mel, that if it's a human person.
Wait, what?
I mean, unless they're doing a biopic of their life.
Or unless we are in some sort of Truman Show-esque world. Oh, yeah. In which both only you and that other person are the focus of your own shows and you can somehow switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone write that into a musical and cast me.
Copyright. We've copyrighted it.
The Truman Show, the musical.
Yeah.
Copyrighted. It works, right?
I think it could definitely
Someone's
got
to be working on that, right?
If Groundhog Day worked, I think the Truman Show could definitely work.
I support that.
Guys. It's ours. Don't steal it. I'm taking ownership. This is me taking ownership verbally. It's happened several times on this podcast before.
Nothing's yet to come of it.
That's okay.
So, Mel, going back to getting to know you.
Yeah.
What is your favourite Sondheim show?
Oh, I'd always go for Sweeney Todd, but I also quite enjoy a little night music.
That's one we don't hear very often.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, at all ever, really.
As a favourite. I think we've heard it once before, but only as kind of like a secondary favourite. Yeah, but I quite like
I really,
night music
I
as well.
I really like a little night music.
Nice.
Yeah.
What is your go-to shower song then?
Oh, there's so many. What's my go-to? What's my top one? I'm not going to say anything new and exciting. It'll be like Heathers.
That's fine.
Well, that's what this is for. It's like, what is your lowest common denominator? What do you default to when you're having fun?
Dead Girl Walking.
Dead Girl Walking.
Yeah.
Nice.
What Good is one. That? Yeah.
Nice one.
Easily.
Okay. It's always hard, this question. And I think you're ready for it.
Okay.
Just take a moment, take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
You have to delete one musical from existence. Okay. It cannot be Cats because we've taken all nine of its lives. We've burnt it. We've buried it to the ground. What musical are you deleting, Mel?
Oh, man. Okay. So I'm currently scrolling through my Spotify.
It's a Superfly music.
Superfly. And you're right, you guys. This is really hard.
I know.
This is really hard.
It's not that hard.
I mean,
it's hard for me. I like things. It's a pastime of mine to enjoy lots of things.
Yeah.
But so I've got two.
Okay.
Okay.
The first one is because they're tied, you know.
Okay.
Sure.
A funny thing happened on the way to the forum. I'm sorry, I know.
And why would you be
I've immediately
deleting.
Polarized everyone. I'm not a fan
deleting
of the
Sondheim
script.
Is a power move.
I know. It's that big Sondheim energy.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it aged well, and when I've seen it performed, it hasn't been done well
this
necessarily.
Is true.
I just think Look, I don't know what it's done historically. Maybe it was important.
As opposed to Little Night Music, which has aged very well.
Okay, all right, okay. Got me there. Okay, so here's my second one.
Okay.
In Transit?
Couldn't tell.
Broadway's first a cappella musical?
Oh,
I just think it could have been
yes.
better.
Better.
Broadway's first a cappella musical could have been better.
Should have upped the ante a little bit, maybe.
Yes, yeah. I think so. Mm. Cool, let's pretend that's what I said and not the other thing.
It's fine.
You're allowed to delete whatever you want.
Okay. If you want to delete a funny thing, we delete a funny thing.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
I'm not going to bother listening to In Transit if we're deleting that.
No, I will. I mean, give it a chance.
All right, we have gotten to know you, Mel. Yay. So let us take a short break and then let's talk all things Mean Girls. Whee! My first super fun fact about this show is that I saw Mean Girls with Benedict Braxton Smith, who wrote all of our music for Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know.
No way.
Yes.
What?
And it was a great time. We had a lot of fun.
Heck yeah.
Mel, I'm going to like throw you into the deep end pretty early on in this segment.
Okay, great.
And for the people out there that haven't seen Mean Girls, and honestly, it hurts me if you're one of those people. But if you have never seen Mean Girls, Mel, I need you in 2 minutes.
Okay.
You've got 2 minutes to do the entire plot.
Entire plot.
Your mean time girls. Has already started.
Mel. Whoa! Okay, here we go. All right. So, odd one out girl. Her name is Katie. Katie Heron. C-A-D-Y. Katie. She has been homeschooled with her in her family in Africa for ages because her family is wildlife researchers, whatever. And they're like, hey, one day... I want to go to school. Let's go to school, you guys. So she so they go to America. She joins a high school, and so she's the big odd one out, and she meets a bunch of oddballs, likable oddballs, nice. Janice and Damien, but she also meets the mean girls. And what is my time
You've
at?
Got like a minute and a half.
Okay. So she meets the mean girls. The mean girls are run by Regina George. Ugh. She's a big scary mean girl, classic scary mean girl, who kind of like hires Katie to be a mean girl, part of their group. And so Katie is kind of going as a joke, but then kind of turns into a mean girl, and we're learning about being shallow and being a person and being nice and like why people are mean and why you shouldn't be mean. And then someone gets hit by a bus, and then someone breaks a crown into pieces, and then math also.
That was great.
Good. I do well under pressure, you guys.
So it's basically a show looking at the different cliques in high school and how that can be damaging to the people involved with them, specifically to girls who are mean to other girls.
Yeah.
It's true. It was inspired by a book, a handbook for parents, really, on like when they're about to send their children, particularly girls, to high school and what they might encounter and how to deal with that.
Queen Bees and Wannabes by Rosalind Wiseman.
And she said that the movie was quite close to her book, so it's good.
Delightful.
And now that we're 15 years after the movie, Tina Fey has done a really good job at trying to incorporate...
Friend of the show, Tina Fey.
Friend of the show. Hi, friend Tina.
Hi, Tina.
I'm saying that just so it materializes because I love Tina Fey.
I love Tina Fey so much.
Yeah.
She can do no wrong in my eyes. She's done a really great job at incorporating new ways that girls can be mean to each other via technology.
Mm. Yeah.
To the extent that she went and asked a bunch of teenage girls what is the app that they use to get the most villainous, no, the most malicious app, I guess, out there. And they came back with Snapchat. So there is a lot of, it is a lot about telling things via photos and statuses and all that kind of stuff. So
it deletes itself.
Yes, because it deletes itself. Unless you go to the Snapchat database.
Yeah.
They're all saved there in folders so that it's easy to find. But this show received 12 Tony nominations.
Heck yeah, it did.
It was the most that any show got that year, and yet they won nothing.
So upsetting.
So upsetting.
So also up there for Best Musical.
Yeah.
Like one of those nominations was for Best Musical.
Yep. Ashley Park got a nomination for Gretchen. Mm-hmm. Was she the only actress? Or did Erica also get a nomination?
Yeah,
Taylor
and Ashley.
Yeah.
And book for Tina Fey, of course.
Yeah.
Score, scenic design, costume design, sound design, direction, choreography, and orchestrations, as well as best musical and best actor.
Yeah, Grey Henson.
A musical for Grey Henson.
Yeah, look, Grey.
What?
I mean, we will definitely be talking about Grey.
We will definitely be talking about Grey.
But we could talk about it now.
We could. Is there anything about how the show came to be, Mel, that you would like to talk about? Under pressure.
Hang on, I just flicked out of my notes. The only thing I have off the top of my head, because I've lost my notes, is it was announced. The fact that the musical was coming to Broadway or was being developed, was announced on October 3rd, which I just love.
Yeah. It's Mean Girls Day. Mean Girls Day. It's going to happen.
It's October 3rd.
About 10 years ago, another friend of the show, but legit friend of the show, Kimmy Tsukakoshi, and I were in a Idea of North concert, and we were like, do you know what would be the best musical ever? Mean Girls the Musical would be the best idea
no
ever.
No way.
And we're like, we should write it. And then we're like, we can't write Mean Girls the Musical.
Well, I think I've told the story before that when Miranda and I were in New York and we saw Heathers, we heard people in the audience behind us explaining to the person that they brought along that this was Mean Girls the Musical.
No.
Oh, whoa.
It wasn't. Guys.
Yeah, it really
different.
Wasn't. And
Heathers
we were like,
and Mean
do
Girls.
We tell them? And we didn't.
Oh, my God.
Because they were.
Aaron and JD are very not similar at all.
No, I think it was they were legitimately mistaken and they thought that this was an interpretation of the Mean Girls movie, not the Heathers movie.
Oh.
Yeah, they just knew that it was an interpretation of the movie.
And I guess they didn't know that Heathers the movie existed at all.
No,
so they're like, Mean Girls, but all Mean Girls are called Heather. Mean Girls.
Mean Girls.
Yep.
I found some fun facts, not just about the musical, but about the movie that
love
I was
that.
Like, what?
Love that.
For starters, and this is the one that like shocked me to my core because I just think it would have changed the entire dynamic, was that James Franco was considered for the role of Aaron Samuels.
No way.
James Franco.
Would have been a bit.
Almost 50-year-old James Franco.
What?
Would have brought some dark undertones,
yes.
I reckon. Like
a little
weird,
creepy.
A little closer to JD.
Yeah. But also a bit like, I don't really care about anybody.
Yeah. Bit too like blasé.
Yeah. The original movie title was Homeschooled. They were going to focus on the fact that Katie was a homeschooled
kid. Mean Girls is definitely better.
Mean Girls is better. Yeah, it would not. I don't think it would have gone anywhere if it had been called Homeschooled.
Well, it's not as engaging, is it?
No.
I don't care to see the homeschooled
hear about
movie.
People being homeschooled.
Yeah, like is that that's a bottle episode? Like that, you don't need a movie for that.
One that pops up all the time, which still just blows my mind, is that Amy Poehler is only 7 years older than Rachel McAdams.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's crazy. 7 years.
Wait,
seven?
What?
Yeah, right, Mel. If you need to see Mel's face, people. Yeah. That is the face I made when I realized that Amy Poehler, who plays Rachel McAdams' mother, is only 7 years older than her.
To be fair, I will say Rachel McAdams does not look like a high school girl in the movie.
No, she does not.
Like, they've definitely aged her down with her dress and her makeup, and they aged Amy Poehler up with her dress and her makeup.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, like, it is definitely, it was kind of on the end of the trend of casting older actors in high school roles.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Amanda Seyfried and Lindsay Lohan also both auditioned for the role of Regina, but obviously got other roles. It was Amanda Seyfried's very first movie.
Mm.
Yeah.
And now she's been in every musical movie under the sun.
Yep.
To be fair, she was my favorite of all the characters in
so
the movie.
Good.
I love Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah.
I love it.
She's sunshine.
When they're like, you're really pretty, and they say, thank you. And she's like, oh, so you agree. You think you're really pretty. Actually happened at Tina Fey's high school. Legitimately happened when Tina Fey went to high school.
Ah!
And now it's like this crazy, amazing thing that everyone quotes. But it's Mean Girls being Mean Girls. Katie was not only named after Tina Fey's roommate in college, but also Elizabeth Cady Stanton, who was a leader in the women's suffragette movement. So
amazing.
I think that like
cool.
women's
yeah.
empowerment thing is kind of underlining throughout the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just a little like, this is the last movie fact, is that, just a little note on your behavior outside of the audition room affects your audition just as much as your audition itself.
Love these stories.
Oh,
is that Tina Fey and Mark Waters cast Daniel Friend's Zizi, who plays Damien in the movie, mostly because of how funny and charming he was in the waiting room.
Aww.
Prior to his audition.
Oh, that's
and
good.
After his audition. Yes.
Yeah.
So like, it can work the opposite way,
heck
too.
Yeah.
And if you're not a very nice person, you might lose a role.
That obviously has worked the other way because he was the most charming in the waiting room.
Yeah.
He got their attention there.
Yeah. So before he'd even walked in the room, that's really cool.
Oh.
Yeah, and he's a good egg. He's a good egg. Jonathan Bennett, who played I don't know if you guys saw this pop up on Instagram at the beginning of the year, but he played Aaron Samuels in the movie, has released a cookbook, which is like the Burn cookbook, which is the unofficial, unauthorized cookbook for Mean Girls fans. And it's got recipes like fettuccine Alfredo.
Amazing.
You go, Glen Hot Cocoa. And Just Dab Caesar salad.
Oh, my goodness. Good on him for still capitalizing off this.
I don't like any of that.
I'm a big fan. I'll buy it.
That's because Zane hates puns and it's a full cookbook full of puns.
Puns.
But
it doesn't need to happen.
It does need to happen, guys. Tina Fey wrote the movie and the musical.
Yeah.
But Amy Poehler wrote Kevin Napoor's rap for the movie.
The most important part.
But for the musical, Jeff Richman, who is Tina Fey's husband in real life, is the composer. And Nell Benjamin, who was the lyricist on Legally Blonde, is the lyricist on Mean Girls. So it's like a real nice little team of very talented people putting together a show that we really enjoy, and a cast that have all seemed to work, have had worked together some in some capacity.
Yeah.
So like Taylor Lautermann and Ashley Park and Erica Henningsen were all at university together.
Yep.
Kate and Gray had worked, had been friends forever. Kate had worked with Nell on Legally Blonde. The director choreographer had worked with Gray and Ashley in Book of Mormon. Like, it just seemed like a real party family vibe, which is really fun. There's not a lot of things that are different. All your favorite lines are kind of in there. Was there a few?
I feel like the characters are more fleshed out musical-wise.
Definitely.
Yeah. You can learn to love them as humans, not just like, haha, funny characters.
Yeah, exactly.
And Janice and Damien are definitely focused on a bit
bigger roles.
Aaron Samuel's
a little bit smaller.
Yeah. And I like that. So the things that probably are different for people who haven't looked into the show is that Janice and Damien kind of narrate the thing from their perspective, which gives it kind of a like a darker vibe, I guess, because they've been sitting on the outside of it. So it's not from Katie's perspective necessarily.
Yes,
it's from their interpretation of Katie's perspective of the thing, which is really cool. The cafeteria cliques are slightly different.
Oh, yeah.
They're not the same. We've got the debate team, the dance team, the rich stoners, the gangster whites, the woke seniors, the peaking too soons, the strivers and survivors, the junior believers, the Christian believers, the wallflowers, and the fending off skeevers. But we also still have the sexually active band geeks, the candy jocks, and the worst being the plastics, obviously. Because you can't have Mean Girls without the Mean Girls.
No, of course not.
And the other difference is Aaron Samuels is in the Burn book this time, which he wasn't in the movie.
Oh, I didn't even realize.
Because he actually lives in another school district and is secretly attending North Shore.
Right.
So it's been put in. So he's got bigger consequences when that Burn book gets released.
Yeah.
He gets kicked out of school.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. Other than that, we talked about it a little bit before of like the social media aspect of the show is obviously brought back into it because kids are mean 24/7 these days.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop. It really doesn't stop.
I mean, I can talk for a little bit about my theories behind why it didn't win many times.
Okay, Go for it, Zane. You know we love it.
So, there were four nominees for Best Musical that year.
Yep.
Mean Girls.
Yes.
Mean Girls.
Frozen.
Yep.
SpongeBob.
Yep.
And The Band's Visit.
Yes.
So obviously, The Band's Visit won.
Of course.
Obviously. And the other three were movie to Broadway.
Yeah, I think we have the same theory. Yeah.
I think this is definitely the Tony Board trying to send a message to creators saying that, like, yes, you're making money, but are you adding to the art?
Is there value in it?
Mm. And I definitely think Mean Girls, Frozen, and SpongeBob all added something to their text. I don't think that any of them are bad musicals, but definitely, like, this is, I think it's, yeah, I think it's,
I mean,
definitely.
Frozen is classic Disney. What else is Disney going to do but put on musicals of their stuff? That is what they've done forever. That they haven't produced a new work.
That's just a musical.
Just a musical and not a movie.
Mm.
I mean, SpongeBob. SpongeBob, SpongeBob.
But SpongeBob, like Mean Girls, added a little bit into it. Like SpongeBob is a little bit of a reimagining of the characters. But yeah, I think it's, it's always interesting the politics behind the awards. And I think it's a little less transparent with the Tonys than it is with the Oscars now people like literally campaign to get Oscar awards. Whereas there is kind of a committee more with the Tonys.
And also The Band's Visit was a great musical.
Great musical.
And original and et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. And like that's original-ish. The thing, nothing against Yazbek. But yeah, I think it's, yeah, I think that there's a very clear reason when the other three are adaptations.
Yes.
Absolutely. But for it to win nothing at all, rough. It's very... I don't know if there's been another show that has been nominated for so much...
And then completely...
And gotten absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, leading actress went to Band's Visit. Leading actor went to Band's Visit. Featured actor, Band's Visit. Featured actress went to Carousel, which was revived. So direction went to Band's Visit. So Band's Visit really swept it.
Yeah. And it would be interesting to see what the demographic of the Tony committee is.
Yes,
like,
I was thinking
what
that.
Is it that they like and what do they like to see? Because it is very... the Band's Visit has a certain tone to it. Carousel is a classic, like... That would be intriguing too.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against Tony Committee. I trust you and your judgment.
Well, so I mean, like, yeah, like Dear Evan Hansen has won.
Dear Evan Hansen
That's
has
true.
Won.
Book of Mormon has won. Yeah. Hamilton's won. Like, these aren't like classical style musicals.
But for that particular year,
that
it's
particular
really interesting
year, and I think this was maybe the first year where it was majority movie to musical adaptations that they had to kind of deal with.
Yeah.
With a lack of like original. Musical, musicals being staged.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. It's a really fun show, and I don't know if the soundtrack completely captures how fun it is to watch. And I don't know if you felt that, Mel. But Benedict and I saw it. I think it was in its preview week. So the soundtrack hadn't been released yet to the public.
Oh, no way.
So we saw it and I was like, this is amazing, and raved about it to everyone. And then the album came out and I was like, oh, sorry, guys. Like, it just didn't have that same energy for me going the opposite way to what I would usually... Usually I would listen to a soundtrack to see a show.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
I was in that boat. I was in the listen to the soundtrack first.
Yeah.
And booked the tickets way, way, way in advance.
Yeah.
But I had the same response to it where I love the show way more than the soundtrack. Proceeded to see it two more times after the pre-booked one. Because, it's a whole vibe, and getting Janice and Damien to narrate it, and seeing the social media aspect and just... The cheeky extra, something else that they add from the film, not from the film, but they add to the story is these like little political jabs.
It's definitely more aware.
It's definitely
more aware. Which is great.
And I think that's everyone now is a little bit more aware of what they're saying and how they're saying it.
Absolutely. And I think you've got a cast of people who are willing to play too. So, I mean, you can't have a full car drive around in circles when they realize that Katie has a party and they're dropping the art show happens and he's riding his grandma's like scooter, motorized scooter. Like, it's commenting on itself, it's realizing its own limitations. I think I was reading online today, there was a moment where Gretchen dropped the burn book into the orchestra pit. And one of the guys like lifted her back up and she's like, Regina, your butler is so helpful. Like, and so now that, like,
brilliant.
they're on it, they're ready, they're quick. The night we saw it, Regina's mic completely went off one of the final scenes before the prom. So someone ran on with a handheld microphone and Taylor Louderman just took it in her stride. She was just like, this is what I'm getting? Okay. And like, still totally Regina. Eric is like, just talk into my microphone. But yeah, they're so quick and ready to play.
Which is why everyone loved the movie so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it translates so well into a live cast.
Can I ask my question?
Ooh. Of course, Zane. I'm never going to say no to you, Zane.
What's your favorite song?
Oh, man.
Don't worry. I have three that it could be and three that it kind of changes with every listen.
Okay.
Okay.
Revenge Party.
Nice.
Oh, that was a really hard choice. Guys, that was really hard. I'm sweating. My hands are shaking. Revenge Party.
I have to bring up the song list because that is, I enjoy it. I'm a sucker for Stupid with Love because I relate to it far too well. Like, I was like, this is my anthem. It's my anthem. welcome to my life, guys.
Halloween.
The Halloween song is great. I love Stop.
Stop reminds me so much of, you know, Turn It Off.
Yeah.
From Book of Mormon.
And I think that's why, because you've got Gray singing there.
Yeah.
It's, but now,
we haven't mentioned it before, but Gray originated McKinley. Ella McKinley that sang Turn It Off in Mormon.
In Mormon, which was great. But also he, like, just before he sung one night, again, reading online, he, like, heard himself just before Stop, so, like, added a line in that was, like, stop pretending you're a teenager when you like absolutely are not.
So good.
I don't know. Apex Predator. I love.
Oh, of course.
World Burn. I love. I just Revenge Party. Great. I can tell you the song that I don't love.
Oh.
Easier than the song that I do love.
Sure. Okay. All right.
And unfortunately for me, it's the Where Do You Belong song.
Oh, why?
I think Scene, it's one of those ones that visually I loved it. But listening to it without the visual, I was just like, this song is kind of boring and repetitive. Yeah.
It is a bit repetitive.
Yeah. Because
obviously things are happening
and
on stage.
And you're listing. It's a list song.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
True.
It's going to
be. I'm surprised that neither of you have mentioned I'd Rather Be Me.
No. It's because it's first one that released. I have this thing where the one that everyone loves is the one that I don't love.
The single. The single from the musical. You're like, I'm too cool.
I just like, oh, I get it.
I mean, like, this is the Veronica Sawyer song.
It is, truly.
And from Mean Girls.
Because so it is Barrett Wilbur.
Barrett Wilbur Weed singing it.
I love It Roars. I love A Cautionary Tale. And I do love I'd Rather Be Me. But I just don't,
like,
it's not my favorite.
I'm glad that you brought up A Cautionary Tale because that's one of mine. I also love Sexy.
Sexy.
I think that's one of the funniest
songs.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I give you sexy corn. Yeah. Best line.
For
I cure my sex cancer.
Yeah.
That's not right, is it?
I did it.
And Revenge Party, of course.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. They're all bangers for me.
It is good soundtrack.
I feel like it's just as quotable. The music in this is just as quotable as the movie was.
Yeah.
Like, that's it is a thing that I say all the time. Me and my housemate just say it at each other. That's it.
I do love, they have taken the nostalgia for the generations who have grown up with the movie. And I was still in high school when the movie came out. Mm. So it's been a long time. And we quoted it every single day. And we still do every single day. All those lines that you love are still in there. Montage-esque, but they're all still there.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting to be in the audience and be surrounded by 15-year-old girls who love Mean Girls and be like, you weren't even like you were a baby or not even alive when this film came out.
Yeah, weird, right?
And it's the same for like I was born the year Heathers came out and I still love Heathers.
Yeah.
But it's seeing that also and it's like this story of women and how women treat each other and how we can be better than what we are is still so empowering to generation after generation and generation.
For sure.
It was really interesting. But we have talked long enough about that. I could form them so much longer, but we won't.
Sure.
We will play you a little bit of music and then we're going to try and cast this show. Alrighty, guys. I think I need to keep Gray in as Damien. I can't imagine anybody else playing that role.
Undeniably.
I mean, look, there are probably a lot of great people that we don't know of yet that could play that role, because that is a kind of role that doesn't get in many musicals anymore.
No, it really doesn't.
Like, McKinley's probably the last one.
Yeah.
That kind of sassy, funny character that's kind of, kind of just slots in. Like, I can't think of one off the top of my head that kind of really fits that mold.
No.
Not to that degree.
And not for men to play.
Yeah, well, exactly right. Like, there's nothing in Heathers. There's nothing in Dear Evan Hansen. Yeah, so I think, like, he's obviously the pick for that role because that's what he does the best.
And he's very good at it.
Yeah.
He's very good at it. What have we got for others, guys? Who are we getting? Regina? Katie?
Can I just throw one out there?
Of course you can.
For the teacher.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Mrs. Heron, Miss Norbury, and Miss
Norbury. Miss Norbury.
Because they're usually triple cast.
They do play. Yeah, all the one.
Kerry Butler did a fantastic job.
Yes, love a Kerry Butler. Butler. Yeah. Laura Benanti, you guys.
Yeah. I personally want to see Tina Fey in that role.
Oh, of course. She's the OG.
She's the OG, and I would love – I was waiting – like, Miss Norbury coming on, and I'm like, it could be Tina.
It could be.
It's not going to be, but it could be.
I think when it closes, she might come in for a week or something.
Or like a night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she can. Because she has. Because she's great. Do you guys have a pick for Regina?
This is really hard.
I
love Me too.
Her voice. It just, from Legally Blonde and
Bring It On,
you just do not understand the scope of her voice until this role, and she is flippin' phenomenal.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
especially in Worldburn, where she's belting this incredible, man. And they're like, she's on her side being lifted by three men.
Yeah.
And she's again,
effortless.
She's wonderful. I would keep Taylor. I can't
easily.
I couldn't tell you who would play that role better.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, that I didn't think anyone could. Anyone else who did it would play it very differently, I think.
Yeah.
Because I think if you were imitating Taylor Lautner in that role, it would look like an imitation.
Yeah.
So you'd have to change it. It's kind of like a dolly.
Yeah.
And everyone will have to play differently. Where Katie, there is kind of an archetype that you're playing.
Yeah.
So you just kind of play a Katie. Whereas a Regina George is really what you make of it.
Exactly. Mm. And even you look at the casting directors talking about casting in the movie, and Amanda Seyfried apparently came in with a completely different interpretation that they were really interested in.
Mm.
But there was something in Rachel McAdams that was more intimidating.
Yeah.
Amanda was scary, but so it was, I think it's going to be a hard role to keep casting because Taylor finishes soon. She's leaving the show.
Wait, have we not just had the new Regina pop up?
For the tour, yeah.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah, so for the tour, it's Mariah Rose Faith.
Yeah.
It's great.
She will be great in it. It will be a different interpretation. Yeah. But I think
of course Zach is going to be Aaron.
I mean, obviously. Or Kevin. No, it can't be Kevin DeVore. In a couple of years he might play Mr. Duval.
He could play Mr. Duval now. Like, he could. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
But also Aaron Samuels.
And sure, I'm not fighting you on that one.
Good. Because I just want to see him in like a varsity jacket and like.
Of course you want to. I couldn't be bothered typing Zac Efron in a varsity jacket into Google.
Gretchen and Karen and Katie and Janice and Damien. We've done Damien.
Katie or Janice, you kind of have to do next. I don't have strong contenders for either of them. I love Barrett Wilbert Weed.
Me too.
Yeah.
Honestly, when it was first announced that it was her as Janice, I didn't buy it straight away.
Oh, interesting.
But after I saw her sing and I saw her perform it, I was like, okay, I see where they're going and what she's doing there.
And they've definitely changed that character to just be more grungy than
goth. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's really hard to cast off an original cast when the original cast is still doing it.
And the original cast is
so good.
So good. Yeah. So solid.
So good. And if you had to do, I think looking at it, if I had to do a celebrity casting of this show, you'd probably have someone like Anna Kendrick in as Regina or Katie. You know, she could play
either.
I see
Anna Kendrick as Katie.
You know.
Mm.
She could do Katie. I think she could also do a decent Janice.
Yeah.
She's good at
she's
that,
sarcastic.
Like, sarcastic. Yeah. Dry kind of humor.
It's like, that's the only way I can kind of like view casting.
Yeah,
the show.
Get celebrities.
Yeah.
In,
is that it's a celebrity cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Mel? Any thoughts? Feelings?
I was also just going to stand by Ashley Park as Gretchen Wieners because I think she's just so incredible. Yeah. I was thinking like, who's really different that we could like throw in? Like, could we just like throw in Telly Leung in there or, I don't know, just like really random people? You know, like,
Audra
who would
McDonald.
You not normally? Yeah.
I mean, maybe is Miss Norbury, but again, yeah. Like, that triple would be fine. Yeah. She'd be fine, but I don't think that it's particularly necessary for Audra to
no.
be mm-hmm. in that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really suit her oeuvre.
No.
Trying to think of like my dream alternative cast.
Yeah.
Like my funky dream
well,
cast.
Mel.
Yes.
Who would you play?
Who would I play?
If you could pick any of the roles to play in
okay,
this show.
If it wasn't about like casting based off looks, Regina. Because I'm never going to be the mean blonde girl that weighs 115. But
yeah,
pick
what's
me Regina.
That in kilograms, like 50, 45 kilos?
It's ish, like it's yeah. something like that, which yeah. is
it's
wild.
Just
like
under
a child.
Kilos.
It's so small.
Yeah.
So small.
Who would you play, Zane?
Oh, I mean, I'd have to be Mr. Duval, but I'd love to play Damien.
Yeah.
But I'm well aged out of Damien.
I mean, technically we've all aged out of all of the characters.
I don't think so. I think both of you on stage would be perfectly fine
so.
In this show.
I agree.
Like as long as I think as long as you play like early 20s and mm-hmm. under, I think you'll be fine in these ones.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Because again, it's a lot to do with costume and characterization on stage more than actual like close up looks that it is in film.
That is true.
Yeah.
And they did cast a very older cast in the film.
Yeah.
Anyway, and both Karen for me, as much as I love Kate Rockwell and I think she's hilarious, she was probably the only one that looked slightly too old for
truly.
Karen.
Yes.
And I think mainly because of her height. I don't know if it had anything else to do, but she was just so much taller than everybody else.
Yeah. Just, that's fair.
I don't know.
If you're sitting close as well, you're like, you kind of stand up. Not
yeah.
I don't
not
mean to
way.
Be rude, but yeah.
But
no.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Zane asked me this question off air, Mel, and I couldn't answer it. I was like, I would play anybody, but like in bits. So like I would play Regina at the beginning of the plastic
love
entrance.
This.
And then
yeah.
but yeah, Katie is my spirit animal and I understand exactly what she's. I was never homeschooled. I didn't live in Africa, but I'm like, I feel you, girl.
Yeah,
I understand what it's like to feel like the odd one.
I'll be your Janice in this cast. Yeah, if you'd like. Let's do it. I'm so ready.
All right, guys, let us do our lessons learned. Why do I always skip that part, Zane?
I don't know.
Lessons.
This is just what
because
you're doing.
Because I just am like, let's get to Zac Efron. But for now, let's think about the lessons we've learned from Mean Girls.
Yeah.
So, what are some of the lessons, team, that Mean Girls has taught us?
Okay. Obviously, it's about cliques in high school and how they treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's not that just these people, these individuals have formed these cliques and that's bad. It's that these cliques form in every single year and do the exact same thing
it's
all
never
the
ending.
Time. It is not the individual's fault.
No.
It is the situation that people are put in and then they get boxed out.
Yeah.
I think that is the big message from the movie is it's not – it's you can have your friendship groups, but just – think about what you're doing rather than doing it because you're told that's how it is.
Yeah, or that you think that that's how it should be.
Yeah,
From Mean Girls the Musical, we learnt to stop. Just think for a moment before we do some stuff.
Love that.
Maybe crop our faces out of some things.
Oh, man. That line is so rough.
But I do like that it is commenting on a lot of things that teenagers have to and adults have to go through now due to technology. I couldn't find a direct quote, so I'm just going to like generalize it. It could be two quotes. It could be a mess of one quote. But Regina says this in the musical that I think is so important, and it's fascinating that it comes from Regina, is don't apologize for things that aren't your fault, and never apologize for being a boss. You don't have to apologize for being a badass. You have to apologize when you tear somebody else down because of it, but you should never apologize for your worth and your strength.
Preach, preach, preach.
And that is the exact same philosophy that Janice has the whole way through.
Yeah.
But Regina wants to make her apologize for it.
Yeah,
and that's the evil thing in Regina is she's hypocritical when it comes to this one person.
Exactly, yeah. Just Janice, because maybe she is intimidated by the fact that Janice is so unapologetic about who she is.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's interesting too, because you don't have to have the money and the brand names and the clothes. Just confidence sometimes is just as intimidating. Need to own it. Yeah,
100%.
Don't let anyone shame you.
No, but I love that quote.
Speaking of which, don't let anyone shame you. There's a scene in Stop when Karen's talking about the photo that she should have cropped. She's also like, but why are we shaming girls doing this? Why don't we just make a culture of not sharing this? Like, why are men sharing this? Yeah. Can we stop that?
Don't show your friends. Yeah. Boys, just don't show.
But it is. It's also like, let's not victim blame here. Like, we're not the bad guys for having these pictures. You're the bad guys for spreading them around.
Yeah.
It is. It is a musical full of those kinds of lessons, and a movie.
The movie doesn't deal so much with that sort of thing. It really stays away from the male-female dichotomy in the movie, where it definitely deals more with it in the
show. Absolutely.
And I think something that both of them do is like women stop picking on each other.
Oh my
women
God, yes.
Stop
like
picking
you're so
on
much
each
more powerful
support each
when
other.
You support each other.
Yeah. Look at this. Oh my goodness, it's gone. It was there. It will come back. Any other lessons, guys?
Well, I mean, the power in the implicit support of women.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, because men will just assume that other men are going to support them.
Yeah.
And where women are always like, well, I don't know if she's going to support me.
Yeah.
And I think that's the power dynamic.
Yeah. It is. I think it's really interesting. We were talking about Fangirls a couple of weeks ago and how enthusiasm and support and all of that looks different in both genders, and one is more acceptable at certain things like the football and others when it's a boy band or a celebrity is not as acceptable. And I think we are starting to see a lot more shows and a lot musicals, TV shows, films, whatever, bringing about this like question of why is it okay for one and not okay for the other, or why do we view this differently and this is not okay. And I appreciate Tina Fey as a woman writing a show about empowerment for young girls that are obviously reading really well. That we that mums are taking their daughters to, but I would have liked to have seen more men in the audience. You know, like I know it's Mean Girls, and I like there are plenty of guy friends who have seen Mean Girls. There are plenty of guy friends that haven't seen Mean Girls. But it's interesting, I think, as soon as you put things that are pink and
branding, absolutely,
then it's definitely a no-go. So, but I think it's a really important show for both genders.
And it's really funny that pink is such it genders it, but then immediately like puts up a wall.
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah, for a certain kind of person. Yeah. It's like, that's not for me.
But I think maybe that's why they've put the three girls with the big blonde hair and the short dresses. Any other lessons that we've learned from Mean Girls, team?
I mean, the radical individuality from Janice. Like that's. I think we covered that, though.
And also Damien. Damien is also like, I coined my own phrase, guys. Yeah. I am too gay to fuck it.
Just be passionate about stuff. Be passionate and be kind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, like the Janis Damian relationship is such a just a goals, a friendship goals.
Absolutely. Thing to no have. Judgment.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it just absolutely. It's like your flaws are your best parts.
Yeah. 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 And I'm going to support you in anything.
Even if you are too gay to function.
And I have to drive my grandmother's motorized scooter <Yeah. laughs> so that you get to your art show.
Yeah. Oh man.
No, it's good. I think it's a really good show about friendship and empowerment and just like being who you are.
And it's funny. And that it's hilarious. That you can tell jokes about these sorts of things and not be politically incorrect.
Yeah. Like it's I think possible. That's writers take note.
Yeah. You don't have to make fun of women to have funny women.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
And women can be funny.
Yes.
Yes.
Guys.
Women are funny.
Just I so mean, you know.
Damien's hilarious, but the rest of the cast is also just hilarious the whole time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Alrighty guys, we've learned the lessons. We've already cast the show, so let's go to top five. For me, this is one of my top five feminist musicals. I think it's fun, but it's also not like in your face.
Okay,
feminism either. Mm. I think there's stuff in there for everyone.
What else would you put on that list? Because Little Women is the one that I can really pick out.
Mm-hmm.
Legally Blonde.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Wicked.
I would put Wicked. See, the Wicked is hard for me because it doesn't. The Bechdel test has failed so many. Like, the motivation isn't just.
Yes.
You know, like it's still got that male love interest
Speaking
element
of which,
to
fun
it.
Fun home on that
fun
list.
Fun home. Yeah. Mm. There's a few.
I'm not saying that they're not. I'm just interested in what else you'd put on your list.
Yeah.
Because Mean Girls is a great one and it's probably going to be on the list.
It's Wicked is probably my point of contention.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
I would put Damien in top five gay sidekicks.
Heck yeah.
Even though he's explicitly gay, like I'd put Max from The Sound of Music on that one. Even though it's not explicit, it's never said.
Well, it wouldn't have been then anyway.
No, exactly right.
We got to keep that a secret. This probably starts moving into the like top five technology with Dear Evan Hansen.
We
and
did
all that
mention that on our Fangirls episode. Yeah,
and I feel like Heather's Mean Girls, Fangirls, like it's been this like natural progression into what musical theatre is going to be like slowly but surely. But I think Mean Girls does jump onto that list that we were talking about for that episode.
Now I don't know whether this would be top five, but what about top five majority female cast?
I was thinking that
I put top five female cast. That's my next one,
because there are only two males in the whole cast.
This is true.
And Damien has a lot to do, but Mr. Duval and Aaron very little. So
and then of course rapping Matthew.
Oh Kevin.
Oh,
yeah. Kevin. Good old Kevin.
But yeah, like there are the little parts, but yeah, like all the main roles are except Damien.
Obviously the list is getting bigger, so it's really hard to tell now, but like book to movie to musical transitions is just getting huge.
See, I would exclude it just because the book wasn't the story. Book.
True.
Movie to musical.
The movie was the story that became the musical.
Yeah.
Right.
But the book was more of an instructional
thing
for parents. That was created in creatively imagined into the movie.
Okay, fair. But would you put it on a movie to musical top five? I mean, you've got a lot of Disney to contend with.
That is a huge list.
And
you've got producers and Young Frank and literally every classical musical ever. And
I mean, if we go strictly from a non-musical movie to a musical on stage.
Yes.
It's still a big list.
Yeah.
I think it might be on there. I would probably put Heather's above it and the
I'd
producers above it easily.
Mm. Yeah.
Little Shop as well.
Mm.
Non-musical movie to musical stage.
That's true, and it did make it better. Hairspray.
Yes. Or Hairspray called itself a musical, but it wasn't like it didn't have
It just has soundtrack, right? They weren't singing in the original.
It had singing and dancing with licensed music. So right. it did call itself a musical, but it wasn't a musical as we imagine
as
it.
Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah, so it's a tough list.
It is a tough list.
Tough list. So I wouldn't hold it against you if you did put it on that list.
What do you reckon, guys? What would you put? What would you put on that top five movie musical list?
That'll be an interesting list to put out on Facebook. Yeah. I mean, I want to mention Karen. I just don't know what list to put her on.
I think for me, Karen is probably the top five most fleshed out characters in terms of being given a second life in those transition
most
movies.
Expanded upon
yeah.
I would definitely put her on there, and I think she embodies this. It's never really explored as to whether she's playing dumb
or whether she actually is.
And I think it would be really interesting as an actor to pursue the plain dumb element of it. Like, she knows exactly what she's doing. But
what about trios? What about, like, do you think this is one of the best female trios?
Because
you've got the Skylar sisters.
You got Skylar, you got the urchins in Little Shop, you have Heathers,
See, the Heathers, I guess the three Heathers are a trio,
and they're more and they're more cohesive than the Mean Girls trio. Like,
that's true.
The Mean Girls, like, the three Mean Girls never actually sing the same song at the same time.
Yes, yeah.
You know?
What about friend trio for Katie, Damien, and Janice? Or friend duo. Never mind. Stuff Katie. What about
dynamic
duo? Duo, Janice
Again,
and
that's
Damien.
Again, a big list.
It is a huge list.
You've what got would you put on it?
Singing, I could put Cosmo and What's His Face from Singing in the Rain.
Yeah, I guess Janice and Damien, I wouldn't say are the main characters.
No.
Whereas I think in Singing in the Rain, they're both main characters.
That's true. I feel like, though, it's hard because it's like, it's the idea. It's the same thing with Carrie.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Carrie is not the lead of Carrie. Sue is. But nobody ever sees it that way.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Whereas for me, I'm like, Damien and Janice, this is their story.
Okay, yeah.
So are they?
It's true, and they are presenting it.
Yeah. You know? It's a tough one.
It is a tough one. Damien's already on a list. Janice is on a list.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know about the trio question. I would put them on there because I can't think of, like, five all up.
I'm sure that there would be, but usually the three women, it never usually gets to three. Usually it's one or two that are, like, friends or, like, opposition.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, like you said, all three of them are fleshed out characters that are part of a group.
Yeah.
Mm.
Interesting.
Any other top five?
Whoa.
Hey, you guys are on a way. I would like to throw in High School Musicals.
Again, that's a big
But it is an, another huge list. It's my, like, personal top five High School Musicals.
I think this one, because it comments so much on high school, would probably, I think it would make the list.
It would have to
be. Yeah.
Along with High School Musicals.
I think Grease would be one that is specifically about the high school experience, even though
Heathers
very separated by time.
Heathers,
I think, is just set in high school. I don't view it as like specifically a high school movie.
Okay.
I don't know. There's parts of it that it's very like these issues would not be so dramatic for it.
It's true.
Not to be teenage angsty.
The
like
following and the leading.
Yeah. Of like, clicks
happen
everywhere.
Dear Evan Hansen, I would just put, is set in high school.
Yeah,
it's not
about high school life.
Not a high school
movie. True.
Feel, yeah. Okay. Look,
maybe.
Caused a lot of discussion, Mean Girls, for our top five list. Guys, if you agree or you disagree, please let us know. But for now, we're gonna play a song and then we're gonna come back. It's gonna be great. So, Mel.
Yeah.
What you up to at the moment?
Not a lot at the moment. I spent quite a while in New York.
Yeah.
At the end of last year, beginning of this year.
Amazing.
Studying at the Susan Batson studio, so that was really cool. Yeah. And doing music theater workshops and
amazing
and the like. So at the moment I'm in a lot of kind of like pre-production cool. stuff that I can't really talk yeah. about. So that's fine. Fine. That's
Can sneaky. We hear your voice on any other things, maybe?
Yeah.
Do you have a podcast and all?
It's almost like I do, Zane. You can hear me at the Floof and Papa podcast.
Amazing.
Also on the That's Not Canon network. Yeah. I host that with Taylor. It's just a fun time. Easy
friend
listening, you guys.
Friend
yeah,
of the
friend
show.
Of the show.
Taylor.
You would have heard Taylor on a Chorus Line last, I believe.
Yeah.
And then as for singing voice and voiceovery stuff, I do have a website, you guys.
Amazing.
It's just melaniebolovan.com, MelaniebolovanN.com. Just
we'll
yeah,
throw
we'll,
that
we'll
in,
put it in
because
show.
I don't have a show at the moment to plug.
That's totally
yeah.
fine.
You
that's,
plug that's whatever self-plug. You want, Mel.
Yeah.
That's up to you. It doesn't have to be a show. Just because we're musical theatre people doesn't mean that we're always busy, guys. But we are always busy.
Yeah.
And if you would like to know more about Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, you can go to www.thatsnotcanon.com.au. No, not .au. I keep do you know what? I keep typing in .au every time. And I can never find our website.
I don't know why. It's never been .au.
I know.
We are a global entity.
Oh, it's yeah. amazing. Let me try that again, guys. If you would like to know more about Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, you can find us on our website, www.thatsnotcanon.com/MTMEIK. You can find us on Facebook at Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. You can reach us on Twitter or Instagram at Musicals Teach Me. You can send us an email,
ooh,
which
email.
I love so much. it's musicalstaughtmepodcast@gmail.com. And if you would like to join the superheroes of our lives, on patreon.com you can become a patron at patreon.com/musicalstaughtmeeverythingiknow. And for Christmas this year, I would like to reach 1,000 patrons so that Zane dances the Necronomicon. And Christmas is just around the corner. It's 14 Saturday, not by this time. What is this coming out in 2 weeks?
It will be a
time?
While. It will be a while. It's we've still got a moment before Christmas.
Not really, though. Not really. So you guys, it's just $1 American a month. That's what it starts out at. And that's all you have to give. And you will count in the 1,000 count to get Zane to do the Necronomicon. And it's going to be great.
Really important. Yeah, really important.
Yeah,
really
this is the most important thing facing the world at the moment.
Easily.
It really is. I mean, no, it's not. There are definitely worse things happening in this world that you should be donating your money to. But if you have a spare dollar a month, then throw it our way if you would so wish. Is there anything else we need to plug, Zane?
What am I doing? I mean, I've got a lot of podcasts.
You do have a lot of podcasts.
You can listen to some of them. There's a Dungeons & Dragons one. There's a wine one.
There is.
There's a sleeping one if you're insomniac,
yeah.
I guess.
That's great.
Just go on That's Not Canon. Like, I touch most of the podcasts on there. So.
Do you really, Zane?
I do.
Good.
Magical.
And you may hear some familiar voices in some other podcasts, like Miranda's voice or Julie's voice or my voice. It's just, it's going to be a minefield for you, and I'm not going to tell you which ones they're going to be. You just need to find them.
Guess you just have to listen to every episode of every podcast.
But if you would like to tell us how you feel about Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, and you don't want to send emails and you don't want to jump on social media, you can look at your app that you are listening to this on right now, unless it's Spotify. Ignore me if it's Spotify for now. You can look at it. You can rate. You can review. You can subscribe. And we would love to hear how you feel, good or bad, about each episode. And if you agree with us, if you disagree with us, if there's shows you want to hear, if we haven't touched the love of your life in terms of musical theatre, let us know.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Request them, because we're about to start booking next year.
Yeah.
And so our guests are always asking, what musicals haven't you done yet?
Yeah.
So yeah, request them and we'll let them know.
We're ready. If you are listening to us on Spotify, you could just fall asleep to our voices. That's always fun. and repeat some episodes, you know, just go back and listen to your favorites. There's some really long ones, like if you need 2 hours of content just to listen to.
There are some really long ones.
Shrek is a great one to listen to. But other than that, guys, that's it for us for this week. Thank you to Mel for joining
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Anytime.
An honor, truly.
The honor is all ours. Zane, it's always good to see
thank
you.
Thank you so much,
Zane. Thank you, and thank you, KB.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime. Maybe. See you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.
I believe in love. Do you believe in love, Amy?
I do, Gina. I also really believe in helicopter dates, bottomless champagne, sparkly cocktail dresses, and big-ass red roses.
Well, you'll be surprised to hear that we're obsessed with The Bachelor. We will be sharing that obsession with you and discussing all things Bachelor and Bachelorette.
We'll be talking about memorable moments, who we think Batchy will choose, and the lessons we learn along the way.
So prepare your cheese board,
grab the wine,
and get overly emotionally attached with us, your hosts,
Amy Duro
and Gina Schwartz.
Love Batchelly.
Two gals here for the right reasons.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.